Husker Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Charge. This is the final episode of Charge on Oscar Radio. I mean, it's the final episode and it's on Oscar Radio.
Yes.
And I believe this is the 16th episode.
Goodness, yeah.
So let's start with a bit of maths. What's 16 and 2 to the power of something?
2 to the power 4.
Oh, good. Cool. Yeah. So, yeah. Nice. Where should we get started? My name's Tika and I'm joined by...
Sid.
And Elijah.
And, so we're going to have a very normal episode, I think.
Yeah.
And then...
A couple words at the end just to wrap up what has been an amazing... set of series, and I'm sure you guys have enjoyed it a lot, and as have we.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to get started by talking about something that we're actually kind of covering in physics. You guys done medical physics?
We have, we have, yeah. Are you
both in the same set?
We are, yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. I see, so there's a little bit of...
overlap.
Yes, exactly. We are aware that ultrasound is a method of communication, sort of. It's a method of...
detection as well.
Yeah. Exactly. And MIT researchers have been looking at underwater ultrasound. I mean, we have like sonar and stuff, but I think it's a bit different. It uses the exact same idea of using sort of transducers with piezoelectric crystals to detect electrical signals, acoustic signals in the water. And basically it again uses an array. It's called the Van Atter array.
Mm-hmm.
And a transformer for enhanced efficiency.
Wow.
And right now they're sort of experimenting with this because it would be pretty cool, right, if we could detect anything underwater without needing, like, because I think sonar has some limitations, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
as anything.
And right now it's got a demonstrated range of 300 meters, which is 15 times longer than previous methods. And it uses this idea of backscatter, which encodes data and sound waves reflected from a sound source back to a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So, thoughts on this? Thoughts on...
Again, what is their aim? What are they looking for? Where are they looking to implement these things?
So I think they're looking to basically, be able to use sensors underwater like how we do on Earth. Not on Earth, on terrain. and...
and to locate what sorts of things? Are we looking at ocean depths? Are we looking at different, structures beneath?
I'm going to guess that it's, like ultrasonic sensors are sort of used in detection, like for example, I built an RC car, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The ultrasonic sensor can detect how far it is away from like a wall or something. Ocean floor.
I think so. Yeah.
What's it like submarines and stuff like that?
I reckon, yeah. I mean, if... as we get further and further down, we want a more reliable technology than...
Yeah.
Yeah. And
to help us explore. Let's
hope it doesn't end up like... What was it called? Titan
Submersible.
Titan Submersible.
Rest in peace, sir. It's sadly left us. But I think... I think it was a good example of when technology sometimes goes a bit wrong. And obviously, again... it's all good that we're pioneering this innovation, but I think this was a good example that we have to be careful.
Yeah, just to clarify, we are not, I don't think, the laughter here is not actually due to the I think it's like a weird topic. But let's move on. Right, yeah. What do you think about vehicles that are constructed at home? What do we think of the Cybertruck? What do we think of...
Ooh, I think... I mean, look, I'm a huge Tesla fan, but I think...
Why is
aesthetically...
that?
Huh?
Why are you not a Tesla fan?
As in... I'm not a hype beat. I don't like to just follow trends and follow hype. Oh. I think Tesla's... There's a lot of hype behind it. Obviously, if someone gave me a Tesla, I would not be against it. But as in, I'm not their biggest fan. I don't know, maybe Sid, you are one of their bigger fans. But I think aesthetically, it's one of their least pleasurable to look at. And that's all I have to say on the Cybertruck.
What do you think about it, Sid?
I mean, I think in terms of its like use and stuff, I think it's quite cool. And then in terms of like its safety features. Yeah. Have you seen excuse me? Yeah, have you seen that video of the demonstration of the Porsche towing the Cybertruck towing the Porsche?
I have.
Yeah, and how it was faster than an actual Porsche, so
yeah.
Stuff like that. And I think it has bulletproof windows, right?
Yeah, bulletproof windows, perfect for the cartel. I watched this guy on TikTok. He's absolutely obsessed with YouTube Shorts. I don't use TikTok.
Edgy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I find too addicting. But
I think Elijah suffers with that. Like, and whenever I go into his room, he's always on TikTok.
Thank you for that input, Sid. Anyway, carry on. Carry on, Tigger.
Yeah, so thoughts on the Cybertruck. I think Elon really like just took, you know, the most basic thing possible. You know, I like sort of
one thing I like is his creativity, right? To come up with a concept like that, you must be pretty creative. Yeah, that's
you have to be like, yeah, you really got to just think differently.
So outside the box,
especially like, in America, yeah. Where like, you know, pickup trucks and stuff like that. It's like
such a big culture around it. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like a country boy thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Down south. Yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, it's so cool that everyone wants it, you know. But yeah. At the same time, no one wants it. You know, it's one of those things where it's like it's hype. It's definitely hype.
Yeah.
But Elijah doesn't like.
But to be fair, apparently, like, I mean, not apparently. Sorry, I mean. When the Tesla was first announced, people thought of it the same way. It was like a gimmick, it was a toy. Mm-hmm. But then now, one in every three cars pretty much in California is a Tesla.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I've mentioned this, but like even near where I live, which is rural Dorset, there's a couple Teslas that you see.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's like but I like the fact that it kind of differs between what country you're in, you know? Like in America, it's all, well, some states it's all autonomous, you know?
Yeah.
And others, it's like a little bit here, I don't think at all, right?
Would you
is there any self-driving in Teslas here? Because I think they limit it based on.
Yeah, they. I don't think UK's laws have allowed them to be fully autonomous on the roads yet. But potentially, that could be something that in coming years that could happen.
How do you think we'll educate people that it's safe?
It's always going to be a difficult one. If you look at like. I think people that are kind of our age, so kind of like in their early 20s, would be more kind of accepting of the technology. But if you look at, say, your parents, right, you tell them to buy a fully autonomous Tesla, I think they'd be quite against the idea of, you know, a software having full control over a vehicle.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen in San Francisco these self-autonomous, like fully, like there's no driver.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no one inside because of laws, but they're like, I think it's called Cruise. There's also Waymo. These are just like experiments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Have I said this? I think they were like collecting data, basically. And
yeah.
I've actually sat in sort of a prototype of one.
Yeah. What was this? Your trip to?
They just sort of had one that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very weird feeling. It's like sitting in a train.
I swear there's like two benches on inside, or is it?
It's basically the same thing without any steering wheel or anything.
I think in
California right now, the law with like Teslas is like you have to maybe have, I think, one hand on the steering wheel at all times, even when
you're in full autonomous.
But I like that there's one state that's a bit edgy. They want to just be...
Which state? What?
Always ahead, you know, California.
California, yeah.
They always just want to be like different. So, I don't know. I feel like... That culture is very different from the UK, you know? There's no experimentation in law here, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's the same.
More traditional, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, London has some experiments going on all the time, I think. Like the bikes, what do they call them?
Lime bikes?
Yeah, lime bikes and
the slightly electric.
One that's free as well.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like... Something like that. You know, that these are kind of experiments still. That, you know, people like drive them off into the river. I don't know ever. I mean, what's the best way to sort of implement structure like that? Like,
Influence what, sorry?
Like bicycles in a city without them being, or like a vehicle. You know, you want people to basically go from A to B in the
most efficient way.
Yeah, without, you know, it's basically replacing cars and all that stuff.
I think the bikes are like a really good solution, and I think they just have to make it super convenient. I'm pretty sure I don't know how it works in London, but in New York they have an app, and then you pretty much just like enter your location, and then the bike thing unlocks. So you take the bike, and then you take it, and then you lock it somewhere else.
Yeah, it's just it's a location, it's literally same thing.
Yeah, so it just charges your card. It charges you online.
You can do that as well in the UK as well.
So I feel like that's pretty convenient.
Yeah.
No, for sure. And I think a lot of companies as well. So, like, I know my parents, like, obviously they don't cycle to work, but there's loads of initiatives, like their company offering them discounts to go and cycle to work, to take greener transport to work. So I think these various initiatives play a huge role in, like...
Why don't your parents cycle to work, then?
Hmm?
Why don't they cycle to work?
Because you can get the tube, actually. Much quicker.
What is more... Which one do you think is more environmentally friendly?
Well, Sid,
yeah.
If we analyse the overall carbon footprint of my parents, I'd say it's quite low. Thank you. How about yourself?
My parents work from home, so...
How efficient.
I know.
So cool, aren't you?
Yeah,
he is cool. And you're cool. We're all cool. So, the...
Go on.
Yeah, you were going to talk about bacteria? Something? Well,
not entirely bacteria, but essentially... when Tika came to me today saying, you know, what do you want to talk about? The Charges last episode, I immediately thought, let me go on Physics World and see what's going on in the world.
Physics World. Do you frequent that website?
I do. Anyway, I came across an article that documented researchers coming up with a bacteria-resistant alloy that improves infection control in implant surgeries. So I'm sure you guys are all aware when, you know, I mean, someone needs a hip replacement, someone's done something, you know, quite bad to themselves, they may need an implant. And obviously that implant needs to be as biocompatible as possible to reduce the, you know, the likelihood of any further infection. And what we found in the past is, you know, here it says about 7% of cases are seen to have, you know, shown some sort of bacteria growth in kind of the medium that's been put into the body, and that has needed surgery, obviously, to replace the implant. And so what researchers are doing is using a titanium alloy that has copper within it, which has natural antibacterial properties, to reduce this likelihood of you know, infection within you know, the subject that you're putting an implant in. And I think this kind of article shows where, you know, Sigi, you talk about medicine and ultrasound. I think this article really demonstrates kind of the lengths we're going to in the future, particularly in medicine, kind of device design, in reducing some of the detrimental side effects, which is really as important as, you know, innovating new ones. I think it's really important that we look to minimize side effects, and, you know, things like, you know, people getting infected through these sorts of innovations. So yeah, what are you guys' thoughts on that?
I mean, are these implants like, do these include like, you know, cosmetic surgery implants and stuff? Is that also one
aspect? I think at this moment in time, it would be looking at more kind of, you know, hip replacement things that are a lot more
vital.
There we go. Yeah, vital. I think cosmetic surgery is would not be on the top of the researchers' list. I think, you know, as we move on, they're going to come up with, you know, things that are, you know, biocompatible, that, you know, are to do with cosmetic surgery. But right now it's more kind of the hip replacement stuff, because I'm sure you know that cosmetic surgery requires a different material to a hip replacement.
Does it?
I think it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you seem to know?
What's silicone in your silicone in your hip? Yeah.
What spurred your interest in this topic of, like, you know, cosmetic surgery and stuff?
I don't actually have an interest in cosmetic surgery. Okay. Yeah.
My mistake.
Materials.
Materials, of course. Yeah. Do you think you could just see yourself branching off of your material science degree to go into cosmetic surgery and this area?
No,
I feel like it's quite important in nowadays when, you know, people feel so much more confident and they feel so much more themselves when they
go
are.
Go on, Sid. Go on, hit us. Can you tell us about a personal experience where you felt more confident?
Me personally, I haven't had an experience like this, but, you know, I know people who have, who've been interested in going through procedures like this.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering if you could see yourself going down that path, just out of curiosity.
I think, you know, with my degree, I think there would always be a chance for me to kind of look at, you know, biomedical applications of materials, and whether that, you know, may lead to cosmetic surgery, who knows?
Who knows?
But I think predominantly I'd, you know, be worried about kind of drug delivery systems and things that are kind of more vital to someone's health. So, for example, how are you going to control insulin levels in diabetes with, you know, some sort of material put into a person so they don't have to regularly prick their finger or things like that. So, you know, look, I don't know exactly where my interests will lie in the future, but, you know, I'll never say never.
That's good. That's a great attitude to have, I think.
Thank you, Father.
No worries.
Yeah, I mean, well, what I was saying when I was coming up with this episode is,
yeah,
you know, we're going to look back here and we're going to be thinking about something. And what's something that you want, like a time capsule, you know?
Yeah, this, and that's why, you know, when you know, you guys asked me to be on charge, I said, look, of course, because this gives me an opportunity to look back and, you know, see how far I've come, but also see what I've done in this time. You know, as you say, it's a time capsule. Yeah.
What's something that you want to leave behind, Sid? On charge. Something, yeah. You know, you're studying at the pencil, UPenn.
The pencil, yeah.
I aspire to study there, yes.
Yeah, let's say you are.
Not yet, mate.
Let's say you are. Okay, hypothetical. We're looking to the future. We're looking at a utopian future.
Mm-hmm.
Where you are.
Yep.
What's something, so you look back on this episode of Charge.
Mm-hmm.
What's something that you want to remember? What's something that you wish you said right now? What's some advice that you give yourself?
To be honest, I think, you know, Charge started out as just like, you know, a little conversation between the three of us. I mean, not Elijah, actually. Elijah was a replacement, but we can talk about that later. But it was...
if we'd like to keep our replacement, we can go ahead and do that.
Anyways, yeah, so it was just a conversation between three friends about, you know, stuff that they were interested in. So I think that's something that really developed my passion in these subjects. And, you know, just reading about... I'm not a big news reader. It's something that Shame. It's something that I should definitely get into, but it's just not a habit that I have. So I feel like, you know, doing stuff like this has given me a reason to like go and look for stuff that's happening in the world.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think it's really important to like stay on top of stuff like that, just so that you know where the world is headed, so you know where you should be headed, or, you know, where to get ahead.
Yeah, I think jokes aside, this has definitely caused all of us to have interesting discussions and actually develop interests in areas that we didn't even know we were interested in.
I think it's quite hard at Oundle to have intellectual conversations with people. I like, not, you know, not fully, but somewhat.
Yeah, there's few and far between.
Yeah. You know, there's some teachers that are like, they love one topic, but have no interest in another, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to find the overlap, I think, with you know, as technology, because I think we're all going into very fast-moving fields, so it's like, do people actually keep up? You know, and I think it's, yeah, again, good life skill to have, you know, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be fair, you can't really expect, you know, teachers to be always on top of technological stuff like that, because it's not really things that they're, you know, very proficient in, or, like, maybe not even interested in, which is really
fair
enough.
They've done their research in their respective areas on things that were hot in their time, but it's almost like... It's like our turn to find something that's interesting and really delve into it. And I think sometimes in certain friend groups there's a lack of drive to find something that interests you and really delve into it. And I think Charge is a really good example of us doing that and pushing each other to, you know, learn about a topic and try and explain it to each other and our many, many viewers that are listening right now. Yeah.
Shout out to all the fans.
Shout out Maribel, I know you're listening. Thank you.
Georgina.
Do you think you're going to continue something similar at uni? What do you think you're going to...
I think...
Because, you know, that was a question that I'm kind
of... All our viewers
kind
are asking.
I've kind of been asked. I don't know. I think... Yeah.
Well, you know, what are you asking amongst the three of us or kind of in our respective universities?
Like, between the three of us, any of us? Because we're all going to different places.
Yeah, I really would be open to kind of carrying this on. And I think our episodes would be even more interesting because we're going to have a better viewpoint on, research that's happening in our respective institutions and seeing that sort of research firsthand and learning things at seriously high levels is going to make our conversations even more intellectual. So I'd definitely be open to carrying this on. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel like once we have a college level or even further understanding, I feel like it just opens so many more doors for you to understand stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like there's that quote where I don't know who said it, some idiots, but going to university is a bit just like it's a bit like 10% about just turning up, It's like, how can you actually turn up every single day
to a place for 4 years?
Yeah, where you're not required to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that some people here are going to get massive shock when they realize,
But the thing, the idea I like is it's self-driven. We've chosen these subjects, right? We're all interested in our respective things. SID, mechanical, Tika, design engineering, computer science, our respective fields. And I think the fact that there's a genuine interest shown by this podcast and the things we speak about, I think that's going to be one of our main motivators in getting us up to our 9 a.m. lectures every day. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be, it'll be very interesting, how are you going to learn? I feel like we're going to change how we learn, right?
Oh, 100%.
It's not really people spelling it out for you,
It's not. Ultrasound.
Exactly. you don't get OneNote pages and stuff distributed to you. So I feel like it'll be very different.
Yeah. I don't really like learning to a spec now. I used to.
I don't really like it anymore. Because it feels, I don't know.
Restrictive almost. Yeah. I hear what you're saying, yeah.
And it's like a box and you have to visit every single corner of the box and remember it. Whereas
And they say A-levels are supposed to be really deep, but...
You say every corner of the box, but realistically we're barely leaving the centre.
Yeah, especially in physics. In physics, I feel like even they say you go really deep, but... Each topic, you're not really going that deep.
Definitely with year two, I think it's really surface level, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the spec, how many points are there? 25 or something.
Yeah.
25 topics. Do you really think we're going to...
summarize the whole of physics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I
But I guess I'd say the whole purpose of, the science A-level, particularly physics, is to kind of tease the interest. So kind of encourage you to do more research outside of lessons because realistically, we're learning astronomy and all that, we are so surface level into astronomy, and I think it's almost like the spec is almost getting you to look beyond it because, if you're really interested in this, you shouldn't be satisfied in just looking at Hubble's law and just looking at the equation. There must be more to it. Yeah,
I guess, but
sorry to interrupt, but I feel like teachers do make an effort to do it, but. I completely understand that, they have a job to do. Their job is to teach us a spec and make sure we...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I kind of... Then at the same time, since it is just a spec, I don't really like going off,
on
a huge tangent. Oh, let's talk about, engines today.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, then it feels like a waste of time. Yeah, exactly. But I feel like at university, that'll be different because everything will just be free flow.
Yeah, I don't think they go... They don't go.
Yeah, there's no set spec. Yeah, there's no set spec in university.
Exactly, and you get sort of tests on what you do. But that's why I like APs. I think because APs, it's like if you do calculus one, you're going to learn calculus one. You're not going to learn. Yeah. Oh, let's do numerical methods. Mm. Any final words?
I think all jokes aside, Sid. Aside, I think we owe a massive thank you to Tika.
Of course.
For getting us up every Sunday, doing all our editing episodes, our PR work, our marketing.
Yeah.
Even
when we didn't feel like it.
So, and now we look at our kind of status, right? We're celebrities around the school because of this podcast. So yeah, thank you for that.
Oh yeah, no worries.
But no. Genuinely, thank you for building interest or helping me build my interests and encouraging me to delve deeper into science, technology, and engineering alongside you guys. Yeah, that's all I've got to say.
No worries, mate.
And thank you to the viewers as well. You guys have been excellent and really supportive during our journey. Yeah.
Stop coming up to us on the street, though.
Yeah, please. I'm with my family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop
yeah.
That. Space.
Yeah. And if there, I want to thank both of you for also turning up when you can and writing topics and you know, even when you don't want to.
Yeah.
And but no, if there are any people listening to this and thinking, should I start a podcast?
Please do. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's a fantastic way to just like show, you know, that you care about something and
Have like, good conversations. We've had such good conversations, good laughs on this podcast, and I really recommend anyone to do it. So
like vocalizing your thoughts is one of the most important things that you can do.
Yeah. Sure.
Kind of the reason I write music as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like deep. You really put something in, you know, you consolidate it.
Yeah, I like the idea of like, you know, expressing yourself in various ways, and I think this podcast is a really good way to do it. And often you look at someone like myself or Sid, and you don't, well, maybe Sid, but you don't, you look at someone like myself and I tell them, yeah, I have a podcast, and they're shocked. But I think if we remove the stigma around doing things that are typically nerdy, I think a lot of people will be more rewarded in their lives. So
definitely.
Guys, come along and do something similar.
Yeah.
Give us a shout out though, because we paved the way.
Yeah, so do you want to introduce the final song? In My Feelings.
Oh, well, guys, I hope you enjoy this one. Coming up, we've got In My Feelings by Drake, me and Sid's favourite artist. So I'm going to love you and leave you. Kiki, do you love me? Are you right?